And a good evening to you. It is Tuesday evening in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Wiza. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Capital City Recap. A new study out from the AARP showing an unprecedented number of foreclosure among older Americans over the last 5 years. But is there anything lawmakers can or should do about it? Well, I'll ask an AARP official. And while millions of Americans can't find a job, there are many jobs that can't find qualified candidates. We'll talk about the top 10 hardest positions to fill. I'll be joined by an employment and hiring expert to break that down. But first, a group of casino owners filing a lawsuit to block a proposal to potentially build 8 new casinos in Lansing and across the state from the November ballot. But is this basically an effort by current casino owners in Michigan to avoid having further competition? The group filing the lawsuit is called Protect My Vote, and spokesperson John Truscott of Lansing's Truscott Rossman PR firm joins us now. John, thanks for taking some time to talk to us on WILS.
My pleasure, Michael.
So the group you're representing is called Protect My Vote, and you're going up against the group backing this ballot measure called Citizens for More Michigan Jobs. Although, isn't this really Casino Group 1 versus Casino Group 2?
No, it's really not. I mean, there are the other side is basically a bunch of speculators who hope to get casinos, and they're kind of hiding behind. I mean, nobody really knows who they are. They're a bunch of LLCs that are assigned to the property owners, and what they're hoping is getting their property designated for a casino. And then if it is and if this passes, there may not be any further background checks or reviews or any of the normal gaming control board activities to ensure that we have good, ethical, non-criminal types that are running the casino.
Well, tell me, the Protect My Vote, the group you're the spokesperson for, what is that made up of? Who is in that group?
We are a group of like local chambers of commerce, local governments, and we do include several of the current casinos. The three Detroit casinos, for example, are part of it, and we have three Indian casinos that are part of it. But we're adding to our coalition every day. We just got the Marshall Chamber of Commerce, I believe yesterday, announced that they're coming on board, and we've got a lot of local governments, township officials and things like that coming on board as well.
You say the language in this proposal is poorly drafted, that it's vague, but isn't that something we see all the time with ballot proposals, that they are a bit vague, and that if changes need to be made, the legislature usually steps in to adjust that?
Not if they're constitutional. Things that have been worded in the past that are poorly worded or inaccurately worded have typically been tossed and not made it on the ballot. The legislature's role typically comes in is that after something passes, then the legislature always has to enact enabling legislation to kind of flesh out what the ballot proposal meant, but this one has several violations to the current Constitution in their language, and they're not following the correct process to put something in the state Constitution. So that's where our complaint comes from. It's more than just being poorly worded. It's a violation of current constitutional language.
Now, one of those amendments to the Michigan Gaming Control and Revenue Act apparently is that it increases the wagering tax and earmarks its use. Is that a bad thing? Wouldn't that bring more money to the state and to local municipalities?
Well, that's a result of it being poorly worded. But you have to go back. The Constitution requires that if you are going to change a current statute, law, provision in the Constitution, you have to let the voters know what you're changing. So, for example, these measures, whether it be the local municipal funding portion, which in Detroit goes to help pay for police and fire, the issue that you mentioned regarding the wagering tax, you have to identify those things so voters actually know what they're voting on. None of these things are identified in the current language that is moving towards the ballot.
I'm talking to John Truscott. He's a spokesperson for Protect My Vote. He's also, of course, from Lansing's Truscott Rossman PR firm. So you're saying these changes are being made, but they're not being clarified in the proposal. How is that the case?
Well, there is no mention in the ballot proposal that they're making significant changes to the Gaming Control Act, which is put in place by the Constitution by a vote of the people in 1996. So, for example, they're changing the definition of what is casino gambling. They're dramatically expanding it. They're also changing the role of the Gaming Control Board, which currently, if you have a casino operating in Michigan, you as an individual, all of your vendors, anybody that does business with you, any investors, go through very significant, detailed background checks, criminal checks, financial checks. They even go into your family members, everybody you've done business with in your past. They investigate all of them. This language completely wipes that provision out and says you're just licensing a casino. It says nothing about the individuals or vendors. That sort of thing, when you're putting in the Constitution, because the current act was approved by the voters, you have to let them know that you're changing that. And there's no language in their ballot proposal that says we are going to repeal or change the current act.
Yeah, you say this group, Citizens for More Michigan Jobs, is a shadowy group. It's not clear who's involved. How is that? Do they not need to clarify at least some of the people involved in this organization?
No, they really don't. And they're mentioning a few names of a few investors. But, for example, in Grand Rapids, they don't have any investors. So the people of Michigan, they're asking them to grant a constitutional casino license to the owner of a property and some investors who nobody has any idea who they are. And then if you take that further, they're wiping out the oversight and the investigative authority from the Gaming Control Board to investigate who these people are. It really opens it up to a potential criminal enterprise. I said this morning it opens it up to the Colombian drug cartel. Now, that may seem a little extreme, but without any background checks, without the authority from the Gaming Control Board to go in and investigate, it could open it up to that. That's a very legitimate statement.
Now, if the group had narrowed the language on the proposal simply to say, we want the opportunity to bring in 8 new casinos to the state, would that have potentially worked, or is that on its own some kind of a constitutional violation?
That is part of the answer. What they have to do, according to the Constitution, is first have a proposal that repeals or amends the current act, as we talked about. You have to specifically list what you're changing, so they have to do that first and then come back with another initiative that says this is what we're trying to do as a result of those changes. Now, you also have to submit that to the legislature first and give them 40 session days to vote it up or down. If they don't vote on it or vote it, then you can take it to the ballot. But they didn't give the legislature a chance to review it either. So there are a number of problems, constitutional problems, all the way through, and this is all incorporated in Article 2, Section 9, where it spells out the process which you have to follow, and this group didn't even come close to following even the basic provisions of how you make these changes.
Now, the first step was that they collected the signatures. Were the signatures approved at that point? And if the appeals court doesn't rule in your favor, will this move right into the ballot?
The petitions were approved as to the validity of the signatures, not the language. I doubt many people actually knew what they were signing. I mean, they didn't know they were repealing the Gaming Control Act and things like that. That wasn't mentioned. If the appeals court rules against us or for us, either way, everybody pretty much knows it's going to end up in the Supreme Court, which is why we've asked for an expedited review so we can meet the timeline for the Supreme Court to make a decision by the time the Secretary of State has to do the 100-word ballot language and then print the ballots and get them out. So it's a pretty quick timeline, but it hasn't been that long since the signatures were submitted. So our lawyers reviewed it at that point. So wait a minute, this has serious problems. It does not stand up to the constitutional test of what you have to do to put something on the ballot.
I see. But in terms of timing, if the Supreme Court doesn't deal with the issue before the deadline, what happens at that point? Would it be held off until the next ballot potentially, or?
No, if the Supreme Court does not deal with it or does not deal with it in time, then it would go on the ballot. So it's presumed to go on unless a court says, no, you didn't meet the constitutional requirements, and we're telling the Secretary of State that it should not go on the ballot.
But part of the interests of your group, certainly the casino owners, is that they don't want to see any additional casinos in the state, constitutional issues aside. Isn't that the case?
Well, I mean, they may support certain casinos. They don't support locking in a business opportunity for somebody in the state constitution. That's unheard of and has never been done before. So this is a huge stretch and an abuse of the constitution, which our group is opposing. I mean, they may oppose other casinos, but this proposal is just so poorly done, and really, it's not what the Constitution is meant to be used for. I mean, when you look at the Detroit casinos, that was authorized by the people, and then it was a competitive process to determine who would get them. And then there was a very lengthy, very detailed process in terms of who ended up with the licenses, full background checks and everything like that. And mm-hmm. some people in that process were rejected. They couldn't pass the background check.
Now, one more thing, just a minute or so left, but is this part of a nationwide effort? I mean, we see these kinds of statewide ballot moves that are actually occurring in other states. Do you know if that is the case here?
You know, we haven't seen one that's this poorly worded that violates the Constitution. So, I mean, obviously there are more people who promote and who want casinos in their state or who want to own them. And you know, that's fine. That's up to the people. But you have to do it in a legal and constitutional way, and this proposal just doesn't meet that test.
John Truscott, he is the spokesperson for Protect My Vote, also, of course, from Lansing's Truscott Rossman PR firm. John, thanks for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure. You're welcome, Michael.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about this big increase of people going to the ER in Michigan, an 89% jump in July. You'll find out exactly what's happening and why people are rushing to the emergency room next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.